You're listening to The Big Picture
on URM.
Okay, so now I want you to cast your minds back to 10 p.m. on the 8th of June. The initial exit polls for the UK snap general election were in, and they indicated that the Conservatives were the biggest party, but they did not have an overall majority. Paul Nuttall's UKIP didn't win a single seat, and he resigned as party leader. Labour made their largest gains since the 90s, and yet were still around 50 seats behind the Conservatives. And the SNP suffered significant losses to the Conservatives, and the Lib Dems gained an entire 4 seats, which I imagine made Callum very happy. So our first question for the panel is this the end for UKIP? Callum?
I think we need to be cautious. And I say that for a number of reasons. They're currently having their leadership election at the moment, and I personally don't know who's going to win that. There's one or two interesting candidates, to say the least, though. Especially Anne-Marie Waters, who has very much got some views which linger on far right, and if we're not careful, we could see a rise of far right politics in this country through UKIP, which I think has rapidly changed over the last few years, to be honest.
I think that UKIP has been almost kind of enveloped by the other parties. The Conservatives have taken on the Brexit championing stance. Labour's kind of taken on their social policies in terms of rent, housing, and in terms of monetary policy, actually. If you look down at it, the UKIP monetary policy was actually quite centrist. And I think that the Labour has kind of edged in on that. However, I don't think you can necessarily write them off as an existing party, but clearly they're no longer the threat that they once posed.
I definitely think it's the decline of UKIP. But even though, like, around the world the far right is rising, I definitely think here they don't really have much of a following anymore. Because I was at the count in Leeds, and Leeds West, they didn't receive a single vote.
I have to agree. I probably agree with most of the panel, but I do think it's worth saying that they still have the potential to be really big. I mean, imagine if Brexit is a complete catastrophe. If, let's say, I mean, God knows it could happen. If, you know, Theresa May mucks it up, Jeremy Corbyn gets in halfway through, also mucks it up, UKIP are going to be the only ones standing there saying, well, you should have let us do it. You should let us have a go. And they will be back again. So as long as Brexit doesn't go too badly, as long as we actually do what we asked, do what we're asked to do by the British people, then that will be the end of UKIP. But we need to make sure that we actually leave the European Union if we want to keep UKIP subdued.
Okay, on a slightly different note, what do you guys think that the impact of the DUP has been on May's government so far? Who would like to take that first? Callum again? Yeah, sure.
I mean, in the sheer brutality of things, I mean, 1.5 million from the billion from the government for Northern Ireland, while that's, I don't think that's being passed yet, that's a sizeable amount of money for Northern Ireland, and the DUP will very much see the political benefits of that deal, providing that the Conservatives don't do anything that's too, something that's very unpopular while they're in government with the DUP, because the parties like the Alliance Party, the UUP, SDLP and Sinn Féin will try and pick up on it.
Sam?
To be honest, when I saw this question, I had a slight panic because I thought, well, I haven't really read much about the DUP. I haven't heard much about the DUP. No one in the Conservative Party is talking about the DUP. But actually, that's something in itself, isn't it? Because we've sort of had this mass panic, mass hysteria straight after the election. You know, oh, the DUP are going to take us back to the 50s. But actually, I mean, who's seen or heard anything from the DUP, really, since the general election? Because I certainly haven't.
I have. It was interesting, the whole kind of outpouring of anger at the fact that the people were going to be working with the DUP, and everyone was blogging on Facebook about their torment over it. In fact, they didn't even know what DUP stood for, or in fact that they were probably a Northern Irish party that had 10 MPs and weren't actually going to make that much of a difference, and it was more a formality that they had the coalition talks than anything else, because the Conservatives and the DUP have voted on the near enough 99% of the station together since day one. I think that clearly, yes, they helped them with the Queen's speech, but in the fact that the DUP sided with Labour in terms of the raising the 1% pay cap actually shows that they're not beholden to the Conservatives. It's a sweetheart deal that will benefit Northern Ireland. Most of that money was going to Northern Ireland anyway, and it's been a formality that it's been increased slightly by a few hundred million. That billion was going anyway because it's an underfunded area of the United Kingdom. The fact that everyone was going crazy over one of the most underfunded areas of the country receiving slightly more money was just laughable. Yes, the DUP have slightly less palatable positions on social policies than I would care to agree with, but they're a democratically elected body representing a section of society that is slightly more religious for certain reasons than the rest of the UK.
I completely agree with everything you just said. Plus, I feel like the party's had a negative impact on the Conservatives. Like, I know a lot of people that were strong Conservative voters that are now turning away from the Conservatives because of the deal and how much it costs. So I definitely think it's had a negative impact on the party and will affect its votes.
Okay, so our final question on the UK election is, has this election altered Corbyn's chances of reaching number 10? And who would like to take that? Yeah, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's getting so old now, isn't it, the Jeremy Corbyn thing? To be honest, I'm kind of the mind. I mean, obviously, it might be clear I'm to the right and I voted Conservative. I think, to be quite honest, I'm of the mind now that let's just give Corbyn a year and it'll just cure us of the whole thing, won't it? I mean, if we have a year of Corbyn, then maybe somehow people will start to realise that actually socialism doesn't work. And, you know, just before we become like Venezuela, we can pull him out and put a proper politician in there.
I mean, I sure hope you're joking. I don't think the country could go through such an ordeal. I say that as a Liberal Democrat. I think the Conservatives are putting us through a similar ordeal, going on with Brexit, but that's another debate, and I won't care to have that here. Me and Sam have had numerous arguments over it. But I think, yes, it has altered his chances. I mean, I for the first time can seriously see him in number 10. Do I think it's a good thing? Hell no. But the bottom line is, we can all see it now, and you know, we only have to look at how he's been received at conference. He's completely silenced the moderates within the Labour Party, and he's been able to carry on with a pro-Brexit position, despite the fact that a large number of Labour Party members voted for Remain. So, you know, yes, the political, not just his position, but the political landscape has changed rapidly.
I think the myth that the Labour Party won the election is a myth that is both peddled by the Labour Party and also by mainstream media.
Yeah.
Yes, this whole definitely. Idea that you can win 80 seats less than the party that didn't even get the majority and still claim victory, I think it's just ludicrous. I also think that it's quite funny that now everyone's saying, oh, I can see him in number 10. I was saying to Lizzie in the car on the way back from our trip to Sherwood Forest today that I think the reason why people didn't take him to town on the things that he's done and things that he said as much as they should have done is in the last election campaign is because they didn't think he had any shot of winning. They didn't think he had any chance of winning as many seats as he may have done or winning at all. And I think that's why things didn't come up. And I think that next time, knowing that there is a chance, very good chance, that he could win enough seats to maybe form a government is why maybe these things are starting to come out of into the open. But I also think that when your whole base is students and then you go back on an election promise 2 weeks after the election saying, oh, actually, no, we weren't going to get rid of tuition fees and we weren't going to get rid of student debt and blah, 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 blah. And then you go back and on the fact that you're not for everything that you said you were for and you don't actually have a proper Brexit strategy and you keep changing your mind on whether you want to be on the single market or the customs union or blah, 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 blah. I think that the cracks are beginning to show. And if you try and get one sect of your party, because the Labour Party is a broad church of opinion, and I think if you try and decrease, 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 you're going to run out of people to talk to.
I'm going to have to disagree on that. I'm so pro-Corbyn. I was the only one. Strong Labour supporter. But I just think, like, if there was to be another snap election, That's hard to say. I think Corbyn stands a very good chance of winning. I think he's grown so much support. I think he will deliver on his manifesto. Had he given the chance?
I mean, a few things. I'm very surprised that he hasn't built up a massive lead, to be honest. I mean, let's be honest, Theresa May's government has looked completely incompetent since day one after the election. It looks weak, it looks unstable. You've got Boris Johnson briefing against the rest of the cabinet with, you know, even talking about setting up a hard Brexit think tank. I mean, normally that'd be cause for sacking, but that's not the case in this scenario. I think the other point we need to remember is before the election, even the Labour Party thought they were going to get absolutely hammered. I mean, especially in Labour list circles, those kind of, you know, broad, you know, those kind of groups that very much are in tune with the canvassers on the floor, they thought they were going to lose anything from around 50 to 80 seats. So, you know, Corbyn's result was a shock, but the bottom line is, you know, as you pointed out earlier, the Conservatives still won the election. Yes, they didn't get an absolute majority, but they did win the election, regardless of how many students turned out, regardless of the swing against Theresa May. And the other thing we have to remember is Labour is building a very strange voting coalition at the moment, where it has now become a party very much of the middle class. It won Kensington, it won Canterbury, two very middle-class seats, and where it was building up large numbers of votes was in very middle-class areas, Sheffield Hallam being one of them, that Labour took Sheffield Hallam off the Liberal Democrats. And I think we need to look at, you know, where Labour are getting their votes from, and are they able to increase their votes to get a majority? Yes, they can, but it's going to be much harder than I think people claim it's going to be.
Okay, and I think that's all we've got time for regarding the UK election. And I think we can encompass everybody's thoughts here with Shania Twain's That Don't Impress Me Much.